I'm the Senior Policy Advisor, and while my presentation is loading, just a disclosure, I have nothing to disclose. I was asked today to talk about tobacco policy change, its successes, its challenges, and lessons that can be applied to broader public health issues. And as I go through this talk, what I'd like for folks to think about is, you know, how can some of these strategies and tactics be applied to some of the things that we heard about through the commission as well as through the county health rankings and the roadmap? You know, I was also asked about to talk about how this program, in retrospect, because this program has ended, but how this program helped to advance the mission of the commission and how its perspective affects the more upstream factors on health. So before I start, I just want to ground you in our theory of change, which is to build a strong body of evidence, make sure that that evidence gets into the hands of policymakers and leaders to take action to improve public health through advancing laws and policies, and ultimately that will lead to better health. 2 decades ago, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Board chose a focus area in tobacco control to address tobacco, and we have since that time, since 1991, invested just under $500 million. As part of that strategy and that commitment to tobacco control, we developed a 4-pronged strategy, one that focused around evidence, another on policy advocacy, another on strategic communications, and also on cessation and treatment. Using that 4-pronged strategy, we use that to create social change. And no better example of looking at social change is the work around smoke-free laws. In 2002, there was one state that had a comprehensive clean indoor air law. Comprehensive meaning it covered all workplaces, restaurants, bars, and all workplaces so that every person in that state was covered. In 2008, there were 14 states covered by smoke-free laws. And in 2011, 23 states, just under 50% of the population covered by smoke-free laws. For every state that passed a smoke-free law, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation invested in it. Much of these successes in smoke-free laws now and before, you know, we believe that the Smokeless States program had a lot to do with that. The Smokeless States program was launched. It was actually one of the largest investments of the foundation, $99 million over 10 years. It created state coalitions in every state, and it focused on policy and advocacy. It represented a major shift in our focus area, focusing solely on policy change, solely on policy advocacy. And as you can see, the American Cancer Society, the Lung Association, and the Heart Association played a very important role in that program. We funded 42 states, and more than 30 states passed a cigarette excise tax. 6 states passed clean indoor air laws. It was, by all means, and by many definitions, a great success. But when we took a closer look at where the policy change is happening and what was going on in these communities, what we found is that disparities continued to exist. You could take a look at regions, for example, in the South. You could take a look at groups of people, whether it was communities of color, whether it was workers, whether it was LGBT. We saw disparities, and we knew we needed to do something about that. What we did was we actually reframed our work in tobacco control to address disparities. And in 2004, we launched a 4-year, $12 million program called Tobacco Policy Change. This program focused on policy advocacy for proven policies that address tobacco use, clean indoor air, excise tax. We also had we were flexible as well around some of the policies, making sure that they really resonated with communities. You know, we knew that we wanted to have policy change in these communities, but we spent some time asking ourselves the question, what change did we want to see? What change would be there for the long term that could help to improve communities. So we focused on building a broader advocacy base beyond just tobacco control. People in communities that care about their health want to take action. We also focused on stronger partnerships between public health departments and advocates. We also focused on reduction in disparities. This was a core part of our program, to recognize that in one community there are laws and policies that improve people's health, and you could drive 9 miles over and not see those laws and policies protect people's health. We also wanted to see a more diverse policy infrastructure, because what we know is that, you know, health issues affect all people, but from different lenses. So to be able to recognize what lens a person comes from and what is meaningful for them was something key to this program. And as I said, policy change, that was important, but it wasn't all about a policy win or that, you know, that law getting passed. It was about really ensuring that policy moved forward and that all of these other changes were happening. These are the four core principles of the program. The impact of the policy change. Would it have a health impact on the community? Again, the diversity of partnerships. Community organizing. This was absolutely key to this program. So this program was about policy advocacy and how you can use those tools and tactics of being able to influence the policy conversation, the media conversation to advance policies. And most importantly, the there beyond this project. Again, this wasn't just about, you know, hitting the benchmarks. We asked ourselves the question, through this program, could we build some sustainable tools, some sustainable tactics, and some strong relationships and networks that could be used and leverage to advance the health of communities. We saw some great successes in tobacco control, but, you know, we had the privilege of stopping periodically and talking to grantees, talking to other, you know, folks out in the field, national partners working in tobacco control. And what we heard consistently was, you know, tobacco control is a really important issue, but it's not the only issue that our community is focusing on, and it's not the most important issue. And so in 2007, what we did was we expanded the focus of the program to focus on much more than tobacco control. We allowed for grantees to do tobacco, but we also allowed them to choose, you know, a public health issue that was important to their community. And this slide outlines some of the public health issues that communities decided to take on. So at the end of the program, what we saw was 37 legislative policies passed. Some of these policies were really important. They were smoke-free laws for the first time. Some of them represented first smoke-free laws in communities, for example, in tribal nations, as well as in the South. There were also regulatory changes and policy wins. So, for example, in South Carolina, a years, decades-long battle to reverse preemption, years-long, and after that reversal, we saw, you know, half a dozen local policies move forward. Also, zoning laws around redevelopment, and also issues around access for youth. We saw broader stakeholders, people that didn't even know about tobacco control, that cared about, again, redesigning their community, came to the issue because there was this opportunity. We have those broader stakeholders that are now caring about health and looking at health in a different way. And again, this collective focus on a healthier community. It's not just about the issue or one issue. It's about what can we do collectively to advance the health of our communities. So these are three lessons that I'm just going to dive into for a moment that I believe are absolutely crucial in doing this kind of work. The first is on outreach. Now, we were really disappointed in our first year when we sent out a call for proposals and we didn't get a diversity of applicants that we wanted to do this work. And when I say diversity, I mean diversity of thought, diversity of action, diversity of tactics to do policy advocacy. And what we learned is that we needed to be much more authentic about reaching the communities, going out there, talking to them, understanding what is key for the communities and how do we shape this program before we launch anything to make sure that it resonates and that it meets the public's need. Flexibility. So flexibility is really important. It's not about, like I said, the policy change happening. It's about how you define success in a project. Is it about broadening the partnership? Is it about, you know, being able to build a relationship with influential people that can add value to a policy advocacy fight? Benchmarks and policy plans. What we know in policy advocacy is that the political environment can change at any moment. And so to be flexible with policies and be flexible with benchmarks is key. And the approaches to support grantees. Because we were supporting communities that took on a variety of health issues, you know, we needed to be flexible because what may have worked in northern Massachusetts may not have worked in southern Louisiana. And so we needed to be able to go in with our eyes open. Building a broader base. So building a broader base for health is absolutely critical for the long-term success of improving health for all people. It means broadening your partnerships, broadening the people that are working on this issue, but also broadening resources. And this is just a tool that we provided for grantees that helped them fundraise. So it is the one-stop shopping, however you want to raise dollars, whether it's through events, whether it's through foundations, whether it's through individual donations, we can help you because there is a science to that. So I'm just checking in with Katie and Angie. So I have a video I've been talking up here, but I think that this story will illustrate to you some of the change that we have seen in this program and one that we continue to build on in our work. And it is not up. But let me tell you the story, which is, it's actually a program called Houston Communities for Safe Indoor Air. And it was started many years ago, and it was a coalition that had a broad representation of all of the diverse communities in Houston, Vietnamese, African-American, Latino, white, and they came together because they saw how tobacco control or how tobacco ravaged their young people, and they started their effort first through educating their community members about the harms of tobacco control. What they then did is, did not use Robert Wood Johnson money because none of our dollars can be used for lobbying, but they raised some unrestricted funds, which allowed them to go to city council, go to hearings, and represent the wants and needs of communities. What you see in this video is actually the council members as well as members of the community talk about how important this issue is to their community. And the council member also saying, with this representation and with these people from the communities, we have heard about what is the most important thing for that community. They then took their skills, their strong networks, and took on the redevelopment and reclaiming of Emancipation Park, which is a very important park in the South. It's the first park that is that was owned by black members of the community after slavery was abolished. It is also a key place because it is a anchor within the community, and over the course of time, it had gotten run down and unsafe. And what you see is community members coming together that, again, started in tobacco control but took on these other issues that are key for their community, building off of the networks and the tactic that they learned in tobacco control, and they will continue to advance efforts in policy and advocacy to improve the health of their community. So thank you guys for being okay with this glitch. I guess this is probably the sixth trick we've got on you on this Halloween day. So thank you guys, and I will turn it over to Angie and look forward to questions.